Number three, I'm going to go through fairly quickly the last few lines in lecture number two on teaching. Let's pick it up here. Parents need to take advantage of the many occasions for teaching their children. You know, God makes each of our children different. Isn't that amazing? You know, and what that means then is that I need to ask God to help me to understand this child. You see, we all understand that God knit this child together in her mother's womb. We understand that God had predestined, had preordained who that child would be. And yet, there are times when we need to ask the Lord for wisdom on how to deal with this child. And so, also what that means is that each child requires a customized discipleship plan. Can I say it that way? And as I mentioned to you earlier, one of the things that we think is really critical is for you to spend some time thinking about each of your children, thinking about what God wants to grow in their particular life. How do I encourage their strengths and how do I help in the areas that they're struggling? So listing those key strengths and weaknesses so that you have a plan for their growth every year. Because, you know, you tend to think that when your kids are little, like this is going to go on forever, right? When your kids are little, it's like, there's no end to the parenting. But the reality is that you have a limited amount of time, and so you need to be thinking about. So a couple of things that happened in our home through the years is we had one year in our home when we studied in our family Bible study time. It was called the Year of the Tongue. And you say, well, why did you have the Year of the Tongue? Well, it's because the tongue wasn't working so well in the Blake family collectively. And so we needed to spend some time thinking about that. So my question, and this is for the guys here, are you leading in this area of thinking about how you need to have a discipleship plan for your kids? Special circumstances, events, times. I'm going to click through some of these fairly quickly, the Joshua chapter 4 passage. Remember the example of how Jesus taught. He did a lot of show and tell. Do you remember that? Can you give me some examples where Jesus taught in normal life situations? So he's going through life with his disciples and he's spending time teaching them. Can you give me a couple of examples like that? The parables, okay, he would teach in parables. How else? He saw something and he taught about it. The blind man, okay, good. Somebody else? The fig tree being fruitful. Oh, yeah, okay, the tower. Yeah. Somebody else? Yeah, the old woman, paying her taxes. So, I mean, lots of examples, right? Jesus saw things, and those are the kinds of situations that we need to be bringing into our teaching with our kids. Teaching through daily life situations, response to authority, being a servant versus being selfish. You know, Philippians 2, 5 through 9 talks about Jesus, that we're to be like him, and he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. You know, they say the true test of a servant is how they respond when somebody treats you like a servant. You know, the way I serve here at the Biblical Counseling Training Conference, this is really easy. This is really fun. You know, many people come up to me and say, I really appreciate blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there are a bunch of people that aren't serving just like this, are they? In fact, I used to run the counseling conference a few years back, and so that for the Blakes that week, it was like we all pitched in and we served together. My little daughter at the time, Erica, who's going to be getting married this spring, she used to love to serve lunch. Do they still have people behind the tables handing you boxes or whatever? So my little Erica, who was maybe 6, 8 years old at the time, she used to love to serve. You know why? Because she had this little thing around, and it used to be all together, so I would make announcements so people would recognize my name. She had a little badge on the front that said Erica Blake, and people would say, oh, are you Joe's daughter? Yes, I'm Joe's. You know, oh, here's your lunch. You know, well, that was really good. She loved that. But you know what? In subsequent years, you know what she did? She made tapes back then and CDs. You know what? You know where you are when you're making tapes and CDs? You are buried in the bowels of this building. And no one will ever see your face, and no one will ever know if you made a tape or a CD for them. Well, that's what a servant is. It's somebody who's happy to do whatever to serve and to love somebody else. Teaching your children to be servants. How about this? Handling temptations. Teaching our young men the benefits of accountability. Accountability is good. With the proliferation of electronic devices, we need accountability, don't we, guys? Yes. Don't we? And the guys around us need accountability. My boys, when they were growing up, we had this mutual accountability. You're familiar with at the time, and it's still around, but it's called X3 Watch. Some of you are familiar with that. It's just a way that anything that I viewed on my computer, my personal device, my boys could see, and vice versa. And so there was just this mutual accountability to avoid temptation. So we need to be proactive with our sons. Talk with them about the temptations that they're going to face. How about this one? Developing a work ethic, avoiding being lazy. I've talked about this a few times, but work honors God. Whether the work is pleasant or it's unpleasant, work is not the issue, it's the attitude of the heart. Teaching our children not to be lazy. And let's just face it, you know what? Sometimes we have to, back in the agrarian economy, well, it was easy. You want to eat? Everybody works. Okay, that's not so much the case anymore. And I think almost as parents, you have to think about consciously about how can I give my sons and my daughters something meaningful to do so that they learn the value of working hard. How about this one? Controlling the tongue. Controlling the tongue. Teaching our children what it means to control the tongue. Listen, is there anything that reveals the character of a family more than being together 100% of the time for 2 weeks on vacation? Right? You want to talk about having some opportunities to practice how we use the tongue and how we don't use the tongue? That's a great opportunity. So teaching our children to work through struggles and using their tongue in a way that edifies and builds up and uses wholesome words. Controlling one's thoughts. You know, it's easy to think that life is better for somebody else. It's easier for somebody else. I told you we homeschooled our kids, and one of the things that I remember vividly is we lived on a county road, and we had this big plate glass window in our dining room, and that's kind of where the kids sat a lot of times to do their schoolwork. You know what caused a great deal of envy and wistfulness on the part of my kids? It was when they were sitting there, and every morning and every afternoon, this really cool big yellow school bus went by. And my kids would say, "Oh, wouldn't it be cool to ride on the school bus?" It's like, are you serious? You obviously have no idea what happens inside of that box because it's not pretty. And my kids, again, they're homeschooled. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but you know what they'd say oftentimes? They'd say, "Oh, if only I could go to Faith Christian School. Oh, life would be so much better and easier over there, wouldn't it?" Well, it's teaching our kids to control their thoughts, to be content instead of complaining. Anybody ever had a teenager that didn't deal with contentment? Asking our children, even in the midst of where they're struggling, where's God in your situation? Why did God put you in that situation? Number 7, learning to love others, developing godly relationships. This gets into the whole issue of dating and purity. You know, we better be talking about our kids about dating. We better be talking to them about relationships. We ought to be talking to them about what to look for in a spouse. We ought to be talking to them about sexual purity. And can I say this? We ought to be talking to our kids simply about the friends that they're choosing. And we ought to know about who the friends are that our children are hanging around with. Is that our responsibility as parents? Oh, yeah. And let me say this, and you can say, "Joe, you are a redneck and you are over the top here." But there are times when our kids were growing up where we just said, "No, you may not spend time with him or her." And I'm not saying that person is a bad person. I'm just saying that when the two of you get together, good things do not happen. You come back from that interaction and there is more bitterness and wickedness and sinfulness in your heart. And we're not going to do that. And I just feel like that's our job. That's our responsibility as parents to know who our kids are hanging around with and what kind of an influence they are. And to give them direction on what they can and can't do there. We want our kids to be committed to a local church. We want them to understand that local church ministry is where it's happening, that God is building his church. We want to teach our kids to use their spiritual gifts to understand who they are. You know, for those of you who have kids in the home or your kids are grown, could you identify their spiritual gifts? I bet you could. You know, and you want to encourage your kids to use those gifts. And we want to encourage our kids to live and proclaim the gospel. Well, let's talk about some methods that we can use to teach our children. Here's the first one, question and answer. There are some great examples of this. You know, think about the Passover in Exodus 12:20.